from tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, July the 5th, 2008. Joe McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on soul ties.
Well, I was going to teach on several different things, but the Lord changed it even last night. I realized the Lord showed me there's lots of people here that have been into sexual sin, and so I'm going to teach, the Holy Spirit's going to teach on soul ties, because through soul ties you can have the familiar spirits of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can carry the diseases of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can carry the familiar spirits of whoever you have a soul tie with. And you can carry the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. The Lord showed me some years back, I had a girl who had come out of Satanism, and I used to have a ministry. My ministry used to be where I would house people in their recovery process. Now I realize that that was for my training, because I grew up very protected and I was not streetwise. I've never been into the occult. In fact, my family does not even believe that in the devil. I mean, they believe in the devil, so they say. what I mean by that is they don't believe in miracles or signs and wonders or anything like that. They say they do, but they really don't, and so I didn't either. And it took me ministering deliverance for years to see miracles that if you'd have told me, I wouldn't have believed it. I had to experience some things that that I experienced. I remember one time we were praying for this girl, and this was back in the years when I was learning about satanic ritual abuse. Back then I'd do 40-hour seminars, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. Well, a demon manifested through this girl and threw her out of the chair, and she'd been into Satanism. And so it was right at the end of the meeting, and I thought, oh, dear God, I'm so tired. There's no way I can stay up all night with this girl. And so the demon was screaming out of her, God hates her, God hates her, God hates her. And then the demon started saying, you know, I'm the Prince of Persia. And a friend of mine who was an intercessor, she said, well, Lord, we just asked you to loose Michael the Archangel upon this demon. And I went, yeah, because I was tired. Loose Michael. And I was amazed. This girl had been a Liz Claiborne model. She was laying on the floor just writhing. The demon was telling her, telling everybody that God hated her. And I was just exhausted. And so when she said, and Lord, we ask you to send Michael the Archangel, I heard this demon say, I'll fight you, Michael. And I went, you know, coming out of my background, I mean, I couldn't believe this. And I said, yes, Lord, we send Michael to fight this demon. And this beautiful girl, all of a sudden, and we just started singing. We weren't doing anything. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. And she sat up and she said, Lord, y'all, I saw Michael the Archangel. He was bigger than this building, and he just reached down and pushed that demon out of me. So ever since then, I believed in angels, and I asked God to loose angels. I remember this girl that I started telling you about a while ago. Her mother was in the ministry, her adopted mother. She had a satanic mother, and her mother had this friend, her adopted mother had this friend visiting her this day. And she was telling her friend that her adopted daughter had just come out of Satanism. So this lady who saw angels and demons all the time, and when you see them all the time, you know, there's probably a demonic problem there. But anyway, she said, I'll go out and anoint your yard with oil. So she went out and she came back and she was laughing. And she said, what? And the mother said, what are you laughing at? She said, I don't have to anoint yard with oil. There's angels all over your yard. So I learned then early in ministry to loose the angels, because the Bible says they're ministering spirits sent to help and care for those who receive His salvation. And when I started to originally tell you about this this girl, that when I had this ministry farm where I housed people that had been on drugs, every time there would be someone come through the ministry that had a drug problem, she'd begin to crave the same kind of drugs that they were on. And so in ministry, the Lord showed me that through soul ties, she was fine. She hadn't been on drugs for 10 years, but when she would get around somebody that had been on drugs, then she would begin to crave drugs, and the root of it was soul ties with people she had taken drugs with. So this thing works with sexual sin. If you've been into adultery, fornication, lust, sexual perversion, homosexuality, there's demons in you, and when you it's almost like it draws other people to you with the same kind of spirit. And it's because of soul ties. And my son died of AIDS in 1989. He lived a homosexual lifestyle from the time he was 3 years old. His daddy abandoned us when he was 8 years old. And the Lord taught me a little bit about homosexuality. What happens in a little boy's life if he doesn't have a daddy, or if he has a couch potato daddy, or if he's a daddy that's not involved in his life, there's an empty hole in that little boy's heart. If the little boy, it's normal for a little boy, and I guess it would work the same with a girl, but it's normal for a little boy to be bonded to his mother till he's about 2 or 3 years old. But at 2 or 3, if he does not bond to a male, then he receives his mother's familiar spirit, and he has this effeminate thing about him. And usually by the age of 3 or 4 years old, if they don't bond to a man, that sets them on the course to homosexuality. Another thing that can set them on course is through being sexually molested. I asked my son once when he was about 18, I said, "Son, what pervert got a hold of you when you were little?" He said, "Mom," he said, "it wasn't the pervert." He said, "I was the perverted one." He said, "I saw a homosexual," I'm not a homosexual. He said, "I saw a sexual picture of a sexual orgy at a neighbor's house when I was 3 or 4 years old." And he said, "It wasn't even a homosexual picture." But he said, "From that instant, Mom, I was driven toward that sin." To see demons come in through the eyes. And so last night I discerned that there was people here that had been into sexual sin. And so I really want to deal with soul ties. But a soul tie, before I deal with soul ties, I really wanted to teach on false prophets. I want to say a couple of things about a false prophet before I start this. There's never been a prophet in the Word of God that was a true prophet that was popular. Can I say that again? There has never been a true prophet in the Word of God who was popular. That's the first thing I want to say, because today the church does not know the Word of God. In Jeremiah 23, it says the pastures have dried up. The pastures where the sheep eats. And the sheep eats the Word of God. Is that right? And so it says the pastures have dried up. Ezekiel 13 says that these prophets, because of their false doctrines, their heresies, their meetings that are wordless, no word, no repentance, no cross, no reverence for God. Because of that, the body of Christ is starving for the Word of God. They don't know it, because today it's like meetings, the Word of God in meetings is almost extinct. And that's why I love Lake Hamilton. Because when Glenn, I thank God for Glenn, because he sees to it that people stay scripturally in line. Because if the Word of God doesn't say it, it's a lie. And so that's the first thing I want to say about false prophets, is they're not popular. A true prophet is not popular. So there's many, many prophets that are going around, they're decreeing and they're declaring and they're doing this and they're going to Stonehenge to set up God's altar, doing all kinds of, why don't they lead the body of Christ to repentance? That's what's wrong with the body of Christ. In fact, 60% of the church thinks nothing of sex outside of marriage. 40% thinks nothing of social drinking, and About 30% thinks nothing about recreational drugs. Now, why is that? Because the Word of God is not taught in the church. Glenn, last time I was here, and he shared this before, that him, his brothers and sisters and kids after church would go in the barn and do things because the preacher never said it's a sin. Nowadays, the preachers are involved, you know, because if you're saved by grace, you can just do any old thing you want to. Well, we are saved by grace, but can I tell you, it's a lie that you can live any old way you want to. You have to decrease that he might increase. And the second thing I want to say about a true prophet of God is that their number one 99% of the time message was that men and women repent of their sin. Even Jesus' message was repent. John the Baptist. And so beware, because you're living in a day, Ezekiel says that the prophets are like foxes among the ruins. And I thank God for the godly people out there. That's all I want to say about the prophets. But get in the Word of God. Know what it says. God never tells you anything that contradicts His Word. If it's not in His Word, then it's a lie. It's Satan's Word. Okay, I wanted you to see about a soul tie. Soul ties, it's like a connection in the spirit. You cannot see it with the naked eye, but if you could see like angels and demons see, you would see a connection in the spirit. And you can have soul ties with hundreds of people, thousands of people. In fact, Jesus said in the Gospels, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. One of the curses in Deuteronomy 28, one of the curses is because of a disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. God says, I'm going to scatter you among the nations. Well, that's one way you get scattered, is through soul ties. It's like when through a soul tie, you get a part of whoever you have a soul tie with, and they get a part of you. A soul tie is an unholy alliance or a perverse relationship. And I was sharing earlier about I have say there's a little girl, and her daddy wanted a boy. And so the daddy may say, well, you have to be my little girl, my little boy. So she starts doing things to please her daddy, and she doesn't bond to her mother, and that opens the girl up to lesbianism because she's got her daddy's familiar spirit. And it's the same with a boy. If a boy does not bond to a daddy, and thank God, last night the young men shared how they were taught that God is their father. You see, that takes away... If a child grows up knowing, well, I don't have an earthly father, but I've got God, the heavenly father, there's a healing in that. But what happens is that a person that lives a homosexual lifestyle, for example, they have the familiar spirit of their mother. They don't need a woman, because there's usually a strong woman in their life and a daddy that's not there. And it works just the opposite. And so God wants to heal. God is a healing God. And a boy or a girl can have the familiar spirit of her daddy and not be a lesbian. Or a boy can have the familiar spirit of his mother and not be a homosexual. But see, that female spirit in a man, or that male spirit in a girl, will draw lesbians to that girl, or will draw homosexuals to that man. It's the same with lust and with adultery. You know, I've lusted for strawberry shortcake. I mean, lust for sex is not, I mean, I've had lust for everything, but not, but the sex thing has not ever been a temptation to me, I guess, in ministry. That sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Anyway, I don't mean it to sound that way. And Lord, why did I even say that? Holy Spirit, bring that back, because I gotta get out of that mess. Holy Lord. Holy Spirit, if that's important, bring it back in Jesus' name. I was saying that, can anybody remember what I said before I got off track? Lust for the cake. Right, that I would lust for food or lust for things, but that wasn't what I was going to say. Right, right. Well, it was even that. I guess I was wanting to relate this to lust. if there's sexual lust in a person, for example, that'll draw people. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I mean, I've been a widow because I don't have that lust spirit in me for sex or a seducing spirit. I don't have that. This is what I was going to say. Well, thank you, Lord. Was, you know, I've been single since 1997. And I've not had one man even flirt with me. And I guess the reason is because it's not draw. I mean, I only have one focus, and it's God. Maybe that narrows a bunch of things down. I don't know. Anyway, forget I said any of that. And I'm not fussing about it, okay? Because I'm not looking for a husband. Maybe that's part of it. I've discovered that Jesus is the greatest husband I ever had. Amen? And I can tell you, since 97, I have never spent one lonely minute since 1997. In fact, I've not ever been lonely. But see, I had a loving mom and dad that were always there. And that makes a difference. I remember when I was even in high school, I'd come home from college. And my dad and mom would be in bed. At nighttime was the only time we got them still because they worked all the time. And my dad and mom said, "Why don't you come get in bed with us?" I said, "Well, there's really not enough room." But I would do that, a big old kid coming home from college. And so I never felt lonely because I had a mom and dad that were always there. And when I was listening to Glenn talk about his daddy, saying the word daddy, see, I always call my daddy, daddy. And that's almost a word that's not spoken anymore. And almost cried last night because I lost my dad in March. And I miss him so much. A lot of times something will happen, I think, you know, I need to go call Dad. But he's not there. So that I look forward to seeing him again in heaven. But a soul tie is an unholy union. It's a false alliance. It's a perverse relationship. And through soul ties, you can have the diseases of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can have the familiar spirits. You can have the personality. You can have the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. And wherever there's a violation of the Word of God, there can be a soul tie. A soul tie is the joining or knitting together of the bonds of a relationship. Godly soul ties occur when like-minded believers are together in the Lord, pastors with their congregation, congregation to their pastors, good soul ties with friends, with marriage partners, children to parents. There's good soul ties and there's evil soul ties. As I shared before, any kind of relationship with children growing up without their daddy or children growing up without their mother, in those relationships, because God tells fathers to train up a child in the way they should go, the Bible says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And wherever a daddy provokes his children to anger through violating this word, there's an automatic issue. And so that's the land that we have to possess. Those are the things we have to overcome. You know, so many times in a marriage, had I known this in earlier years, I think I probably could have had a better marriage. But we make vows we'll never marry anyone like our mother or daddy. And 99% of the time, we are living with our mother or our daddy. You see, if we've made a judgment on our mother or father, you'll either be like your mother and father, or you will marry someone like your mother and father. And soul ties can be broken. It's like taking the sword of the Spirit and cutting the connections. A good example of a good soul tie was Jonathan and David. They had a good soul tie. Homosexuals want to say that they were homosexuals. They were not homosexuals. God was first in their life. Godly soul ties are based upon the law of Christ, which is called the royal law. And these soul ties are approved by God, and they represent the bondings of persons together through the bonds of love. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Ungodly soul ties occur between people when there is a lack of God-centeredness and where there is a compromise of the Word of God. You see, God intends for families, for the daddy to be the head of the house, for families to be, you know, husbands and wives submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, and the children submitting. And, you know, when that's not, when that's out of order, there's a lot of deliverance. No matter how we've been raised, there's a lot of deliverance we need. You know, I grew up in how my mom and dad loved each other. And my daddy was single for 8 years, and he never even looked at another woman. He said one day, he was so cute, he said, "You know, when I get to heaven, I only want one wife." And so, but when things are out of order, even though I grew up with a good mom and dad, there were things that were out of order. There were judgments I made on my parents, and areas where they violated the Word of God, and those were automatic issues in me. God says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." My first husband left me for his secretary when my boys were 12 and 8. And I guess that was probably the most heartbreaking thing that I ever went through in my entire life. It was much harder than losing a son with AIDS. My son that died of AIDS, he's in heaven, and I thank God for that. But I think that was the hardest heartache I ever went through was going through a divorce. And many of the things that I could not understand that I was reaping were things that maybe I had done in earlier years. You've either done it or you've judged it. And that sets in motion forces that cause you to reap in kind what you've sown. And so any violation of the Word of God sets us up for issues that we have to deal with. And, you know, the sanctification process is what bothers us up here in the present is things that we didn't deal with in childhood. And all of us have to get sanctified of stuff. None of us are immune to that. And so I just want to go through the Word of God and show you some things that you can, that opens you up to soul ties, but it's really any violation of the Word of God. Soul ties can affect you in a positive way or in a negative way. The Scripture says, if one rejoices, we all rejoice. If one suffers, we all suffer. I remember some years back, I had a man who had come out of homosexuality, and he said that he was having excruciating pain in his private parts. And he asked me if I had any insight, and I said yes. What the Spirit of God showed me was he had soul ties with people that he'd committed sin with when he was living in a homosexual lifestyle. And so after he'd married and had a little boy, and he emailed me 30 minutes later, and he said the minute he broke soul ties with the person he had had sex with, he was immediately healed. The pain left. And so if somebody twists your arm, for example, when you're a kid, or say hits you in the stomach or hits you in the head or injures you some way, and you let the sun go down on it. The Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger, because you give a mighty foothold to the devil. And so if you let the sun go down on your anger, and somebody twists your arm, and years later, 50 years later, you're looking for a medical reason to why your arm hurts. Or many people have back problems because as little children they had heavy loads put on their back. And so I had a lady, for example, call me and said, "Do you have any insight?" She said, "I'm fixing to have hip surgery." And what came to my mind, I said, "Did you used to have to carry your brothers and sisters on your hip when you were a kid?" She said, "All the time. My mother was sick, and I had to carry my brothers and sisters." You see, carrying baby brothers and sisters on your hip, she was bitter because she'd missed her whole childhood because she had to be the caretaker. And so when I said, "And now you're pastor of a church, and now you're carrying the whole congregation on your hip," she said, "How did you know?" I said, because you were trained up to carry people on your hip. And God says He wants to pick you up on His hip, and He wants to, in the Amplified says He wants to throttle you, lovingly bounce you up and down on His, God's maternal knees, and extend peace to you like a river. The scripture says the glory of children is their fathers, and I know what I started to tell you a while ago. And I just bind Satan, I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord, every spirit that's trying to distract my mind, any spirit that's trying to distract anyone else's mind, you're bam, we break the power of words and curses in the name of Jesus. But when I started to share that my husband left my children and me when they were 8 and 12. Well, he didn't say he left the children, but that's what he did. And my oldest son has always been, he's my pastor, and he's always been the most godly person, even in high school. He reminded me of these wonderful Pennington boys. I tell you, y'all are so special. There's such a mighty call on your life. I don't know if you've felt the call to preach, but y'all are both preachers. Y'all are so anointed, and you're so full of the Word. And your mother's done a fantastic job. But I had an oldest son like the Pennington boys, and then I had one that had a pitchfork and a little devil suit on. And the Lord knew what it took to make me pray. Praise God, that one with the little devil suit's got a halo now. He's in heaven. We asked him when he was dying if he could have one thing, what would it be? And he didn't say, I want to get healed. He said, salvation is enough. Hallelujah. I said, son, I started giving him vitamins and trying to give him barley green to kind of pump him up where he'd live. And one day he said, Mom, I'm not taking any more of your barley green. I'm not letting you vitaminize me anymore. I said, son, I think it's just your pride. You don't want to live on in that emaciated body. Because he had modeled in New York City. He was so beautiful. But he looked like a 99-year-old Holocaust victim when he died. He went blind in his eyes and looking at pornography. You see, whatever you sin with is where the judgment is. Around his rectum was like somebody had tore the flesh from sexual perversion. His feet went from 10.5 to size 13. He weighed about 80 pounds. He had cancer of the small blood vessels all over him. He began to rot there in the last days. His testicles were about the size of a cantaloupe. Everything he had ever sinned with, judgment was all over it. And he said, Mom, I'm not letting you vitaminize me anymore. I'm not taking any more of your barley green. I said, son, I think it's just, you just don't want to live. It's just pride. I said, you just want to go on to heaven and not live on in this emaciated body. Anyway, they asked him if he could live or die, what would he choose? And he said he'd choose to go and be with Jesus. Somebody said, well, what if God wanted you to live? He said, then I'd live. And they said, well, Todd, what was your favorite verse of scripture? He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep His word. But I had my oldest son was just the opposite in godliness. He was an outstanding Christian athlete in high school. He couldn't play football, but the only thing that held the team together was his prayers. Anyway, he didn't have a daddy to show him how to play. And I wondered as he got older, he was class favorite every year at a big, huge high school. But the last few years, I've seen him kind of floundering in that. I just felt like he felt like a zero with a rim kicked off. You know, if you've been told how great you are and you've had all these accolades in earlier years, before God can use you, He has to kind of take you the other direction. Not that he was a person that manifested pride, but the Bible says before honor comes humility. So God's had him on a journey of purifying him, as like Clement said, or somebody said, without the struggle, there's no crown. Without no pain, no gain. Anyway, I had seen rejection on him all of a sudden. And the Lord gave me a message I had a guy come to me, said, I'm a college graduate, I can't get a job. He said, I never knew my daddy. He said, and I had a stepfather, and he said he paid attention to me till I got a certain age, and then he didn't pay attention to me anymore. He didn't help me do anything. And the Lord said, the glory of children is their fathers. And I thought, well, I don't understand that, Lord, but I prayed with him. And then I was in Corpus Christi, and I had another guy come up to me. And he said, I'm a college graduate. I can't get a job. Everything I do fails. And he said, my daddy married again, and he gives everything. He didn't give us anything. He gives everything to his new family, his new wife's kids. And the Lord said, the glory of children is their fathers. Well, the next morning, I didn't understand it, but before I got out of bed, God taught me what that meant. It's like when a child has and God the Father is the greatest daddy you can have. Many of you don't have daddies, but what the Lord showed me is when there's a divorce, the child feels rejected, even though maybe the daddy or the mother never had the child in mind, but when they left, there was rejection. And God, and I'm telling you this because at the end I want us to pray and receive God's glory. But when a child has an earthly father, he has his glory. You know, Clement must have had the most awesome daddy. I thought about Glenn's daddy walking around the cornfield praying for rain. What an inheritance that he gave. And so a bad daddy leaves a bad inheritance. A good daddy leaves a good deposit in that kid. And so the glory of children is their fathers, and that word glory means majesty. It means like a nimbus, like there's an aura. So a child with a daddy has an aura around him. And it's like a notice to the powers of darkness, you better leave him alone because he's got a daddy. But a child that does not have a daddy, it's like the powers of darkness say, oh, you can pick on him because he didn't have one. Now, I thank God for the boys that shared last night, because their mother was wise enough to teach them that God was their daddy. And he's the best one anybody can have. And so at the end, when you forgive your father for not being there for you, then you can receive God's glory, and God comes down, and from that day forward, the powers of darkness said, you better leave him alone. He's got God the Father as his daddy. Hallelujah. So if you didn't have a daddy, somebody remind me to pray that at the end. Okay, you can get soul ties through fornication. I had a girl at a seminar that she was a college girl, and she had warts on her face. And so she asked for prayer, and I said, you have a boyfriend? And she said, yes. I said, have you been into sexual sin with him? And she said, yes. I said, does he have warts? And she said, yes. And so she repented. The warts didn't leave immediately, but about 6 or 8 months later, I saw her mother, and I said, and I didn't tell her mother the details, but I said, does your daughter still have warts? And she's, no, they're gone. You see, there's an impartation for sin. That's why, another thing, don't let just anybody lay hands on you. There's a movement going on. There's movements going on all over the country where they touch you and you act like, have you ever sprayed a cockroach and watch him kick and do like that? Have you? Let me tell you, God doesn't do this to you. He don't make you grunt either. God doesn't make freaks out of his children. But that thing is imparted. Through laying on of hands. So be careful who lays hands on you. If you're in a satanic ritual and they want to give you powerful demons, all they do is lay hands on you and transfer powerful demons to you. And so it's hands being laid on is for the elders of the church or people that the pastor or the leader like here has appointed to pray for people. Because witches and Satanists, they infiltrate these meetings too. And, you know, something's wrong if a witch or a Satanist feels comfortable in a meeting. I know years ago, there was a church in Dallas, and I started ministering to this girl who'd come out of the occult, and she was going to this church, and the church was full of witches. And so, you know, her and her adopted mother told the pastor, and it was like, oh, well, you know, they're not bothering anybody. Hello. You know, the Word of God should be going through forth so powerfully that a witch can't be comfortable. I asked the girl who'd come out of Satanism, I said, you think a witch could come in here? And she said, well, if the songs about the blood of Jesus didn't get rid of them, or the Word doesn't get rid of them, or all the repentance doesn't get rid of them, and I've had them come in for maybe 15 minutes, and they can't stay. In fact, she couldn't even stay there. She'd go out, and she was a part of the ministry. She'd be out the door, and I'd say, go get her and bring her back. And the girl knows God today. Amen? Praise the Lord. She still needs a lot of healing, but she came to the place where I was her life raft. And when that happens, you have expectations of your life raft that you get bitter because you become an idol. And God doesn't want you to be anybody's idol. It was nothing that was ever planned. But if you're the only one that reaches out to somebody, the only one that's ever loved them in their whole life, they begin to depend on you. And so then there's a time of separation where they can learn to find God for themselves. And she told me the other day, she said, you know, I have God all the time. I can just lay in bed at night and just talk to God. I've got God. I said, well, that was the purpose in the breakup right there, was that you could find God for yourself. Amen. Where did I tell y'all to go? Anybody remember? Go to 1 Corinthians. So you can have soul ties through sexual sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, the other day I was telling somebody about some of these false prophets. In 2005, one of them was caught living a homosexual lifestyle and an alcoholic. And another one was caught in adultery. And they're prominent prophets here in the country. And they were saying, well, everybody's committed sin. Yeah, but does the Bible say that even an elder of a church has to be a person with beyond reproach, not addicted to wine or sordid gain? If that's your standard for an elder of a church or for a deacon, how much more somebody that's representing God as a prophet? And there's one thing to be in sin and get your life changed, because we've all been in sin. But there's another thing to repent of your sin and walk on and seek a holy life, putting to death the deeds of your flesh. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. But there's a difference between what we used to do and what we still do. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter, chapter 6, verse 9, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, that's committing sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, that's loving anything more than you love Jesus. Basically, it's anything you let control you. Or adulterers, and that's having sex with a partner that's not your husband or wife, nor effeminate, which means to become womanish or have female characteristics, to be unmanly, to grow womanish, to be weak, to melt into weakness. And one of the ways this comes in is through being bonded to the mother and not bonded, like in the case of a homosexual, is having his mother's familiar spirit because he never knew his daddy. So you can have the female characteristics and not be a homosexual. Or you can have those characteristics and be a homosexual. And but see, the danger of that is if that familiar spirit's there, it's like a radar drawing homosexuals to that person. Does that make sense? Okay, hallelujah. God wants to deliver us. And we all have issues. I have issues too. Recently I had got a bad eye report. And I think my eyes are better. Yesterday I repented over all the scriptures on altar and all the scriptures on idols. And I'm finishing up on see, look. The Bible says he sent his word to heal me, not out there. You know, I've decided that I have greater peace walking this out. my mom and dad, and I say this with fear and trembling, my mom and dad, grandparents, four aunts and uncles, granny and granddad, all of them had cataracts, glaucoma, eye disease, macular degeneration of the eyes, astigmatism, and they were almost blind when they died. And they all trusted doctors. So if I trust the doctors, I'll end up just like them. So I had rather take my chances with God, and at the end of my life, I'll have great satisfaction, whether He heals my eyes or not, I'll have great satisfaction that I went out trusting Him. Amen? But actually, my eyes are a little better today. And I have great hope. You know, the Bible says hope is a helmet for your head. It protects your head. I have great hope. And my faith is increasing. And you know what? God says He wants above all that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. And one thing I know, if I just say, bless God, I'm trusting God to heal me, and I don't look to the spiritual roots to this, I will be blind. Is that right? So I'm doing my part, and God can do what He wants to do. Amen? I know the Bible says that the entrance of God's Word gives light. And a person that, the macular generation is when the light is shut out of your eyes. So I know that for the rest of my life, I will have to stay in the Word of God if I ever want a hope of healing. Amen? I need to get as much of this in my craw, as my daddy used to say, as I can. Amen? And you do too. Because you're living in days that if you do not know the Word of God, you're going to be swept away with the flood that is already coming. The Bible says if you don't love the truth, you'll be sent a strong delusion. And that strong delusion is popping out all over the country. Just, I don't even want to tell you what TV station to watch to see it. God help us. God help us. Okay, it says no one that's effeminate, homosexuals. You know, there's a thing now that there's a law that you can't even preach against homosexuality. Well, why should you preach against homosexuality? Adultery, fornication, bestiality, any sin is perversion. So just say perversion, and that covers the adulterers too. One's no better than the other. Amen? Sin is sin. I like what Clement said today. Sin will cause you to go where you don't want to go. It'll take you further than you want to go. What else did it say? Take you further. Cost you more than you want to pay. That's good. It says, nor thieves, nor the covetous. That's wanting what other people have. Nor drunkards. You know, there's alcohol drunk. There's prescription drug drunk. There's food drunkards. I've been a food drunkard in my lifetime, and that is miserable. Thank God He's delivered me from being a food drunk. You know, nowadays, people are on so many prescription drugs, and if you're on prescription drugs, please know I'm not condemning you. There are people that are on psychiatric medicine that don't even know what town they're in. And that's drunk. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, in latter times, men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. I know a man that would have never killed himself because he was a very selfish man. But he got depressed and he went to the doctor and the doctor gave him psychiatric medicine and he committed suicide. It gave him courage to do something that he would have never done had he not been on drugs. And if you're on drugs, I'm not telling you to get off, but I'm telling you to get you, have your doctor reduce whatever. And if you get deliverance, you won't need it. The more deliverance you get, the less you're going to need it. You see, like this, when I went to this eye doctor, he said, you got to go to a retina doctor. I said, I'm not going. I just wanted glasses. Because I had bought some new sunglasses, and I didn't want to put an old prescription in there. And basically, I said, you know, I don't see that working. He said, they can stick in there. They might put a needle in your eye or give you medication. I don't want the side effects. I feel too good. Every side effect is another drug. I mean, every side effect is another disease. One reason my daddy had a sound mind when he was almost 94 was that he was on no medication. Thank God. He'd had all of his bearings. And it's like putting a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. Henry Rice says that without realizing it, or maybe you're realizing it, you're trying to bypass the penalty of sin. Because unforgiveness is behind 99% of sickness. This eye thing, God's already shown me. I'm telling you, I was prayed up, repented of, couldn't think of one sin that I was committing that hadn't been put under the blood or confessed. But I've been doing word studies for the last month, almost every day. And I thought, dear God, it's no wonder. I saw so much sin in my life, I thought, dear God, it's no wonder. I mean, I'm surprised I'm not blind. You know, the Lord really showed me pride and hardness of heart is at the root of it. You know where it says in Revelation, because you say you're rich and increase in goods and have need of nothing, don't you know you're miserable, blind, and naked? And you know when it says because you say, or even because you think you're so spiritually mature, it means because you say or think you are absolutely abounding in Christian virtue and eternal possessions. That's what that means. Dear God, are we also full of pride that we think we just know it all? When Ronnie was talking about Sister Know-It-All, I thought, oh, dear God, that's me. I said, when he said that, I said, oh, God, forgive me for being Sister Know-It-All. I don't want to be. Oh, God, help us. Let me tell you, we're all full of sin. You can be prayed up and confessed up and get in the mirror of God's Word, and you'll see why you got what you got. You'll see why you have heart trouble. There's like almost 800 scriptures on heart. And you know, heart's tied in with the eyes. I repented over all of them and broke generational curses. And I want to keep on doing that till I go into glory. And if I ever stop, I thank God for this discipline in my life. I thank God for the problem because this is going to keep me in the Word of God. You know how you kind of get lax and you don't do, listen. This is our only hope, is what this word says. Amen. You can have soul ties to perverted family ties. Within a family, there's a close soul ties, any of which Satan is eager to pervert. Through incest, through being molested, through rape, through rituals, satanic rituals. You can have soul ties through bestiality. Have you ever noticed that some people look like they're animals? Have you noticed that? A lady that used to do my nails, her and her husband slept with their Chihuahua dog, and he had a bleeding esophagus, and so did the man of the house. So you can have the sicknesses of your animals. You know, when an animal dies, sometimes a little child will say, oh, I'll always love you, I'll never let go of you. Or even if you have a loved one, say you have a grandmother that you loved, maybe that was the only person that ever showed love to you, and they die and it's like love's gone, you make a vow, I'll never let go of you. And so it opens you up to a soul tie. I did a meeting in Dallas, and this lady said, would you pray for my son? Said he's got a lung problem. And my daughter, she's got a stomach problem. And she said, we have these animals. She said, they always die. Pray for our animals. And she said, my kids have a hard time getting over losing these animals. And then I knew what it was. And the boy had a soul tie with this cat that died with a lung problem. And the minute he broke soul ties with that cat, the lung problem was healed. And he turned to his little sister and he said, Julie, that other cat we had a stomach problem. So you can carry the same diseases through a soul tie that your cat has, or your animals can carry whatever diseases you have. So you need to make, I have to break soul ties with my animals dealing with, you know, my tent making job is I sell chow puppies. And I have to break soul ties with those dogs every day because they're not clean. That was one of the things when he was talking about an unclean spirit. I thought, you know, I'd get rid of that dog unclean spirit. I used to put rubber gloves on when I dealt with them. Now when you've got about 15, you don't have time for the gloves. people just can't really believe this, because when my kids were growing up, I wouldn't let them have dogs because I didn't want the animals licking them in the face. So my son can't believe I have all these dogs, but you know, you got to pay the bills, right? You know, when you get 70 years old, even though you can outwork some younger people, you go give them a resume. I'm sorry, they're not interested in a 70-year-old woman. So this is a good way to make a living. You can have soul ties with the dead through touching the dead, kissing the dead.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.